Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated January 7th through January 13th, 2021. We'll start with the article headlined, Davis Speaks About Riots to Local High School Students, by Steve Hoffman, January 13th. U.S. Representative Rodney Davis said he spends more time lately battling lies than fighting for the truth. Politics has become more about coming to places and talking about what is not true because of what they read on social media or have heard on certain stations that they get all their news from versus what we're doing, the Taylorville Republican told a current events class Tuesday at Monticello High School. The 13th District Representative said he supported Donald Trump for president, but thought that bad advice from his legal team led to the barrage of unfounded claims of voter fraud, all of which were rejected in various courts around the country. They went 0 for 60. That's the result of every legal challenge that the president's team put forward. 0 for 60. 6-0. That's not a winning program. That's not a winning argument, Davis said. On Wednesday, Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol after the president exhorted them to march there at the end of a rally, breaching the seat of Congress as it convened to certify the Electoral College vote that declared Joe Biden as the next president. Davis that day included digging out gas masks in case they were needed, but he said the scariest moment came when lawmakers were evacuated from their chambers as rioters stormed inside. I was carrying my colleague down the stairs, and we heard somebody say, gunfire, said Davis, who at the time was helping a fellow lawmaker who has been undergoing treatment for cancer. Davis said when he returned to the building later that evening, after police had cleared out the rioters, it was a scene he will not forget. I saw tear gas on the first and second floor that I have never seen. A crime scene where a lady was shot trying to enter into the speaker's lobby to get onto the House floor, Davis said. And what will stick with me is the sheer exhaustion of the Capitol police officers and other law enforcement officers who were sitting around some of our most hallowed areas of our nation's capital. They were exhausted from the fight. It was the second such incident for Davis, who was practicing for a congressional softball game in 2017 when a gunman opened fire, injuring 6. That experience made me better prepared for what I went through on January 6th, he said during his 35-minute talk to students in Doug Cundy's class. And I'd rather not go for three strikes. I'd rather keep it at these two. Lawmakers were hustled off to secure locations for 5 hours before returning to certify the vote. While speaking out against the riots, Davis said he would vote against a second impeachment of Trump, explaining that he believed it was politically motivated. The impeachment of the president is being rushed through, he said. It has the potential to disrupt what our forefathers wanted the impeachment process to be. And I'm going to stick up for the Constitution tomorrow and vote against it, because this impeachment is nothing more than politics. They are rushing this through for politics, and it has the possibility to cause more violence. As to what degree Trump is responsible for last week's violence at the U.S. Capitol building, Davis said in a separate interview Tuesday with the News Gazette, the words he used, and that some of my Republican colleagues used, I hope they're regretting it. At the same time, I hope Nancy Pelosi regrets the terrible rhetoric that he believes helped incite the shooter who attacked him and other House Republicans at the 2017 baseball practice, he said. On Tuesday, Trump said his remarks last week to a rally before the violence were totally appropriate. Interim EMA Director working on certifications. January 13th. Email, snail mail, and bills have been piling up for Piatt County's Emergency Management Agency since Director Mike Holmes went on sick leave September 30th. Backlogged work prompted the Piatt County Board to appoint Sheriff David Hunt as interim EMA director in November. Hunt told the County Board EMA committee on December 5th that he is focused on A, keeping the personal protective equipment pipeline running to county agencies, and B, keeping up with accreditations for the agency, some of which come due in the first quarter of the year. I'm still working on the paperwork for the accreditation, We received an extension from January 15th to March 15th, said Hunt about the department certification from the Illinois Emergency Management Agency. I was very appreciative of that, he added. Hunt also told the committee he has also been in contact with the University of Indiana to compile the county's hazard mitigation plan. This is something that is common for other counties to do, to hire out through a grant process to get the hazard mitigation plan completed, he said. Hunt said the county has worked in the past with the university, which has some of the county's information already on file, and may be willing to wait on payment until a grant is received. The county's portion of payment can be in-kind work it does during the application process, likely negating the need for a cash outlay. A quarterly report to the state is also due January 31st. This is the time of year when everything is coming due, said Hunt. Also time-sensitive are claims for public assistance dollars, which can recover up to 80% of COVID-related costs for government entities. That also needs to be filed by the end of January. Holmes is still employed by the county, but is currently off duty under the Family and Medical Leave Act. He is the lone staff member dedicated to EMA, except for Hunt as interim director. The committee held an executive session to discuss a personnel issue at their meeting, but no action was taken. Bills. Committee members were confused about some of the bills presented to them, possibly due to the lack of communication with Holmes, but paid four vendors anyway. One was a bill for $74.01 to County Market that dated back to March. It included items ranging from Clorox and cleaning supplies to coffee and two donuts. Ray Spencer felt some of the charges could be personal and not directly EMA related, but thought the vendor should probably be paid. I think it's the right thing to do at this point, agreed State's Attorney Sarah Perry. A phone bill for $210.65 to FirstNet was also paid, which included charges for three phones for the EMA department. Committee Chairman Shannon Carroll said getting questions answered regarding bills has proved difficult, saying queries to Holmes were being directed to his attorney. Hunt noted that, without more information, we don't know it, the charge account, was not used for county business. When asked how long he would be willing to serve as interim director, the sheriff replied, I'll do it until I can. County Boardroom Undergoing Renovation by Steve Hoffman, January 12th. A water leak that damaged the Piatt County Board meeting room may eventually allow the space to be more flexible after a necessary remodel. The County Building and Grounds Committee decided to take out a platform where board members sit, making it level with the remainder of the room. The approximately 7-inch step was damaged, along with the county board table and chairs, when a sink in a second-floor county courthouse bathroom overflowed and leaked into the boardroom late last year. The one advantage of not having a stage is that if you wanted to reconfigure the room for some other purpose, say you've got a speaker making a presentation, said County Board Chairman Ray Spencer. The lack of an elevated area would also make it more flexible when used for elections. The room has about 600 square feet of floor space. Spencer did admit that the sight lines from the audience to the board may not be as clear without the platform. But in the relatively small room, it was pointed out that it may not make much of a difference. A higher table or more individual desks and chairs may be purchased for board members in order to keep them visible. Keeping the entire floor flat will also make it easier to meet Americans with Disabilities Act standards. If the platform was rebuilt, it would need to meet ADA standards with a 3-foot-wide ramp. That could make it difficult to fit the ramp beside the county board desks. I go both ways, said Committee Chairman Shannon Carroll, on the decision of visibility versus flexibility. The makeup of the renovated space is to be determined. A discussion of adjustable desks for county board members was held, along with making them portable, so that the space could be rearranged when needed. Repair work should be completed in the next 2 weeks, with the possibility the county board will be able to meet there for its February 10th meeting. That would likely be done with temporary tables and chairs, as an order for replacement furniture will take 3 to 6 weeks. If the February 10th session cannot be held in the county board meeting room, the location of that session is not clear. They can sometimes be moved to one of the two courthouses, but that depends on the court schedule. If they are not available, it could be moved off-site to the Livingston Center or other non-county building. Committee meetings this month have been held in an EMA meeting room located in the basement of the Piatt County Office Building, but it is not large enough to handle a full board session. Repairs to the second floor courthouse are also nearly complete. It suffered water damage to a wall due to a different leak. Mental Health, Piatran Parking Lot. The committee also voted to move forward with a plan to install 14 more parking places at the west end of the Piatt County Mental Health Center, Piatt County Transportation Lot in Monticello. The work would include a concrete lot and curb, striping, seed and mulch in disturbed areas, removal of a tree, and manhole adjustment. An initial cost estimate is $49,000, which would be paid by Piatran with Illinois Department of Transportation dollars. The next step is for a drainage engineer to approve the project, a requirement from the city of Monticello. County engineer Eric Sebring said he could help in drawing up specifications for a formal request for proposal, but that drainage work was outside of his certification. Sebring said his only concern is that the 20-foot-long lot provides only a narrow backup area, but would know more once formal measurements were taken. Piatran director Jamie Tribum said the dollars need to be used by September of this year, adding that an extensive government bid process is needed prior to breaking grounds. Thanks to the city. County Maintenance Supervisor Doug Winder thanked the city of Monticello for lending a boom truck and other equipment to help the county. "The city has worked with us quite a bit over the last few months," he said. "The city has been a real asset." He also said an energy audit may be in order for the PCOB, noting that utilities are costing about $1.04 per square foot, compared to about 68 to 80 cents per square foot at the 1903-era courthouse. Mental Health Center Tony Kirkman said a Halo LED purification system has been installed at the MHC using grant funds. "I was told it is hospital grade," he told the committee. More than 700 vaccine doses delivered thus far in Piatt County by Steve Hoffman, January 12th. As of January 11th, a total of 713 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine have been administered in Piatt County. 43 are considered fully vaccinated. In DeWitt County, 401 doses have been administered, 28 fully vaccinated, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health. Both represent less than 1% of their county's populations at this point. Other area county vaccine figures also less than 1% of their populations. Champaign County, 7,327 doses, 499 fully vaccinated. Douglas County, 586 doses, 20 fully vaccinated. Ford County, 421 doses, 62 fully vaccinated. Macon County, 3,673 doses, 828 fully vaccinated. McLean County, 3,922 doses, 124 fully vaccinated. Moultrie County, 391 doses, 42 fully vaccinated. Vaccines to start at the nursing home, January 14th. By Steve Hoffman, January 12th. An eighth COVID-related death was reported over the weekend at the Piatt County Nursing Home, which has seen 43 residents test positive since December 6th. But officials hope they are through the worst of the outbreak. In addition, vaccines will begin January 14th. It literally exploded the week before Christmas, facility administrator Scott Porter told the County Board Nursing Home Committee Monday evening. "It just rolled over us." But he feels an effort that involved moving 16 patients at once to help isolate them even more helped stem the tide, reducing the number of cases in the past 2 weeks. Tom Corbin, whose wife is a resident in the nursing home, complimented the staff on their efforts to keep the outbreak limited to about half the population there. "The fact that not everyone came down with it was a miracle," said Corbin. 27 positive tests among the staff have also been recorded since August. Porter said the nursing home has opted not to require vaccinations for workers there, but is strongly encouraging it. It is the administration's position that everyone should take it for the betterment and health and safety of the residents, but we are not making it mandatory, said Porter. But the staff has been made aware that if you choose not to take vaccinations, that is your right. However, you will have to wear a mask indefinitely. If you contract the virus, you could use sick days if you have them, but they would be counted against you as absences. If there is a tool available and you choose not to use it, and that is your right, there would be consequences, he added. Committee member Shannon Carroll asked what precautions would be taken when the facility lifts a freeze on new admissions. Porter said there was no formal policy regarding the vaccine in place at this point, but that state health guidelines would be followed, which include isolation of new admissions for 14 days. How to handle visitors once they're allowed back in the nursing home is also to be determined. Corbin suggested a two-phase approach, allowing those who could prove they had the vaccine in first, then allow others to visit at a later time. Porter said an additional AED unit, defibrillator, was purchased since the building is basically two nursing homes at this point to isolate COVID-19 patients during their isolation. Obituaries. Paul M. Hannon, 93, of Farmer City, passed away January 9th at his residence. Private family services will be held. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made to Cure Duchenne Muscular Dystrophy, 1400 Quail Street, Suite 110, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Savannah Leanne Rex Road, 22, of Monticello, passed away January 9th at home. Memorial services will be finalized at a later date. Memorials may be made to the Piatt County or your local Humane Society, CatSnap, or your local no-kill animal shelter. Stephen Larry Bundy, 61, of Indianapolis, Indiana, passed away December 18th. Due to COVID, we are not holding services at this time. We plan to have a celebration of life in August of 2021 around what would have been his 62nd birthday. He had an upcoming 20th anniversary with his wife Vicki on January 1st, 2021. In lieu of flowers, please consider making a contribution to Prevail of Central Indiana. Nine Questions with Estella Miller by Clara Rudolph, Journal Republican Correspondent, January 7th. Estella Miller is a sophomore cross-country runner. A consistent top-tier varsity runner, Miller finished in sixth place at her regional competition and landed 10th place at the sectional meet that the Sages would go on to win. Miller also attended a non-IHSA-affiliated postseason competition where she ran in 12th place. Question: what do you like most about cross-country? Answer: my favorite part is the people and sharing a common goal with a group. Question: what motivates you? Answer: the competition with myself and others is what motivates me most. I love seeing how much I've grown. I'm also motivated by how much I love running. Question: what is your definition of success? Answer: being able to look back on what you've done and have little to no regrets. Question: who is your hero? Answer: Marie Curie. Her work and life inspires and amazes me. Question: what do you want to do after high school? Answer: I want to go to college and potentially keep running. As of now, though, I don't have any plans past that. Question: if you could travel anywhere for free, where would that be? Answer: I would go to Europe. The culture and architecture are beautiful. Question: if you had a warning label, what would yours say? Answer: beware, will cry at the drop of a hat. Question: if you could bring one fictional character to life, who would it be? Answer: Wonder Woman. She's my favorite kick-butt female character. Question: what would be the title of your memoir? Answer: A Silly Soul. 10th COVID-related death reported in Piatt County by Steve Hoffman, January 12th. A 10th COVID-19-related death has been reported in Piatt County, a man in his 90s. The DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health Department also reported 24 new cases in the county on Friday through Sunday, bringing its total to 1,183 during the pandemic. DeWitt County recorded 37 new cases during the three-day reporting period, bringing its total to 1,110 cases and 19 deaths. Health Department Administrator David Remmert said both counties have returned to the state warning list for COVID-19 due to an increase in cases last week. He added that immunizations continue for frontline health workers and expects the next phase could begin in the bi-county region within 2 weeks. Phase 1B will include frontline essential workers and residents age 65 and over. The frontline essential workers designation includes many residents who carry a higher risk of COVID-19 exposure because of their work duties, often because they're unable to work from home and/or they must work closely with others without being able to socially distance, said Remmert. Those eligible for the vaccine in Phase 1B include first responders, along with staff in schools, food and agriculture, manufacturing, corrections workers and inmates, USPS workers, public transit workers, grocery store workers, shelters, and daycares. To provide a more equitable vaccine access to elder populations, given data showing people of color die of COVID-19 at younger ages, Illinois lowered the age eligibility recommended by ACIP by 10 years to 65 years of age. Remmert also reported that 71 tests were processed at a free mobile testing clinic held January 9th in Clinton. New cases by town. DeWitt County, 37 new cases. Clinton, 27. Farmer City, 6. Waynesville, 3. Wapella, 1. Piatt County, 24 new cases. Monticello, 11. Bement, 6. Mansfield, 2. Cerro Gordo, 2. Millmine, 1. Whiteheath, 1. And La Place, 1. Authors use Allerton Park as a backdrop. By Dave Hinton, The News Gazette, January 7th. The owners and teachers at Champaign Sprouts Art and Nature School have written a book for children that is based on the ecological impact of a log jam. The Sangamon River in Allerton Park is used as a backdrop. Log Jam on the Sangamon is a rhyming picture book written by Katie Peterson and Ellen Satoff. The pair said they wrote the book to supplement their nature curriculum for Sprouts that is based on local natural events. There are plenty of really cool nature things happening right here that the kids can see and experience, and we want to highlight those things. But sometimes finding the right books is difficult, Peterson said. The book also includes photos of the Sangamon River taken in Allerton Park and handcrafted felt characters. It is available on Amazon. The two writers said there will be more to come. This is just the start of our plan to publish more books in areas that need more love and attention, Satoff said. As time goes by, week of January 6, 2021, 100 years ago, the employees of Pepsin Syrup Company presented the Honorable Alan F. Moore, president of the concern, with a handsome engraved loving cup trophy. Mr. Moore made a neat speech following the presentation. Mr. Moore expects to leave for Washington on the 16th to be present at this session of the U.S. Congress, of which body he will be an active member at its next session. Mrs. William Hettinger died at her home 5 miles northeast of Monticello on New Year's Day. She had been in failing health for some time. The funeral services, which were conducted in the home by the Reverend John D. Cruel of the ME Church of Monticello. Margaret Morrison was born January 14, 1834, at Pike Run, Ohio. She died January 1, 1921, at age 86. On February 3, 1852, she was married to William Hettinger. To this union were born 11 children, 9 sons and 2 daughters. The community club met in a businessmen's luncheon at the Oddfellows Hall. C.S. Reed, as chairman of the occasion, gave a brief statement of the law governing forest preserves. William Lodge, a member of the Fairground Committee, then explained the necessity of such a preserve to include the fairgrounds and other available pieces of timber along the river. A.C. Eddy moved that the chair appoint a committee. A motion was also made and carried for the chair to appoint a hard road committee. Whiteheath State Bank is the name of the new bank at Whiteheath. This organization, which is capitalized for $25,000, took over the private bank at that place of S.L. Severs & Company on the first of the year. The officers are President W.L. Alexander, Vice President James N. Reed, Cashier Vern Purcell, Assistant Cashier Earl E. DeLand. William Hanna has leased the Clow Livery Barn and has opened same for business. Many farms now have electricity derived to them by the central station plants, and within a very short time, it is expected that the rural districts will have the same efficient and modern service as is possible in the thickly populated cities. Class is assembled for the first time in the new Bemette Township High School building Monday morning. The building was started in the spring of 1919. This new modern building is well equipped. Compiled by Roger Weisgarver. 75 years ago, the department store on the south side corner of the square owned by Emil Fox and operated under the name of Leaper Department Store has changed its name to simply Fox's. Mr. Fox purchased the business from J.D. Leaper, who had operated the store since 1933, when he bought it from John Levin, who had purchased the business from W.E. Smith in 1923. The latter at that time had been in business 57 years. A.C. Miller of Monticello purchased the lots on South Market Street, now occupied by the Vault Oil Company service station, and will build a dairy on the site as soon as conditions permit. The Whiteheath younger set met at the home of Mrs. Leslie Branch and organized a Whiteheath teenage club. Hubert Hickman was named president, Jack Woods vice president, Lauren Mowry, secretary, and Elmer Purcell, treasurer. The club has 14 members, and a series of entertainments are to be planned. Real estate AD, 134 acres, unimproved, joins Monticello on pavement, $65 per acre, 7 acres improved, 1/4 mile of city limits on pavement, price $3,000. 102 acres, improved, south of Cisco, $120 per acre. Frank F. Miner, Realtor. Compiled by Kay Gilbreath. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. This has been Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated January 7th through January 13th, 2021. Please stay well. I look forward to reading with you again soon.